This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Hey there, good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. What, 8 days before NFL Draft 2010. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, special guest Terry McDonough of the, what is your title? It's like 14 sentences long, right?
Director of Player Personnel.
Oh, it's that simple.
Yeah.
We just know him as Terry.
That's right underneath Gene Smith.
Number two in command.
That's a big title.
I know. That's why I wanted to make sure I got it right.
Well, we're all scouts, but the title is fancy.
You look for players.
Yes, that's
and here you are, what, 8 days from the start of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
What about the new format right out of the gate? First of all, welcome. Nice to have you.
Thanks. It's great to be here. It seems like we just did this a year ago.
It went fast.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday format?
I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. It's new. We're treading new water here.
I think I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. It's a big event. Why do we, you know, just jam it up against midnight on Saturday and Sunday, and then we just rush through Sunday? It's Sunday is an afterthought. This is an opportunity to. I got to tell you, if they did it for four nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'd be fine with that, too. I think you're going to see more trades. I think it's going to be a more of a high-profile event, if that's possible. I think it's going to be more fun. I think it's going to promote the game, the league. How many months go into this whole process? 8 months?
Yeah, it's a long time.
All right. So why knock it off in 2 days?
Yeah, well, I'm excited about it. I do agree with you. I think a lot of teams are treating the second round like the first round. I mean, there's going to be a lot of trades, I think, at the top of that round.
Mm-hmm.
People have time to prepare at night.
Well, and that was really the key. Yeah. Folks didn't realize that you'd have rounds 1 through 3 on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then everyone would regroup, and the first pick of round 4 was a very valuable spot because it was the first pick of the second day.
Yeah, now it's going to be the first pick of the third day. I think there's going to be a lot more trading in those rounds from 2 on.
Being that as it may, and now you have led me to my to the big question I want to ask you, and it's the question that I'm getting.
Who are you taking?
30. Well, yeah.
You'll have to ask Gene for that one.
Yeah, I know.
It's the question I'm getting over and over and over in ASFIC from the fans, from the readers, and that is, it's about Jimmy Clausen. What are the chances that Jimmy Clausen, the Notre Dame quarterback, will be available when the Jaguars are on the clock? And if he is available, what are the chances that you guys will get the trade offer that you want to move down and get the extra picks you want?
Well, obviously, that's a two-fold question. When you were just asking me that question,
let's start with what's the chance of Jimmy Clausen being available when you go on a clock?
Well, if you asked me that a few years ago about Brady Quinn, I would have said none. Cleveland's mm-hmm. going to take him. Where were they? 4?
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been
three,
wrong.
I think they were 3.
And they ended up taking Joe Thomas, right. And I would have been wrong. And here we were. We were sitting, they traded, he came
over. Well, you're allowed to be wrong.
But this year, if I was going to guess, I was putting my guessing hat on, I'd say Seattle would probably be interested in them.
Where's Seattle, Brian?
6. And, but they pick again at 14.
And then Buffalo, right in front 9. Of us at 9. So I think they're definitely quarterback teams.
So
I
mean, you don't think Clausen will be available?
Well, I'm 0-for-1 with the Notre Dame quarterbacks. I'll say no, I don't.
And if he is available, if it turns out that he should be available, and I'm seeing mocks now, not mock, mocks, that have him available when the Jaguars pick a 10.
The latest one that came out from Sports Illustrated.
Right,
and
has him available.
Yeah.
Well, I see some mocks having us take.
Where does the today's SI mock have him pick, like 14?
Let me go to the second page here, but it's not in the first 10. And this is Don Banks, by the way, from Sports Illustrated, and they have him going 17th to San Francisco.
If Jimmy he had a lights out pro day, right?
Yes, yeah, so we were there.
2 incomplete passes out of 50 or something like that. Just if he's available, what's the chance that someone will want to come up and trade with you?
Well, hopefully, like last year when we talked about with Sanchez, that was the main thing. We thought there would be trade up teams for him, but You know, who knows?
Well, there were.
We discussed it. We thought he might get to 10, and that would create a lot of traffic at 10, or at 9, or at 8. We never thought. I didn't think the Jets would go all the way up there. I don't know. You know, people. The Jets did a good job of letting people know. You know, thinking they weren't going to go that far, and they didn't mind spending the money and going all the way up there. But yeah, I mean, quarterbacks are always a high premium. You know, we could pick them. We could trade them.
Do you like him?
Yeah, I like him. Mm-hmm. He's. You know, he's very polished. He's a good short and intermediate passer. He has had a very good high school career. Has had a, you know, he hasn't won a ton of games there, as you know, Vic. His win loss record isn't the greatest in the world, but I like Sam Bradford. Obviously, I think as most people would have Sam Bradford as their number one quarterback, probably going number one to Seattle. I think most people would have Clawson as their second quarterback. And then the order kind of varies after that.
Is there another player, regardless of position, that if he were sitting there at number 10 would create interest? Would create teams wanting to come up? I mean, you see C.J. Spiller's name sitting around 10 and people contemplating that he might be attractive enough that you would have a team come and say, hey, we want that spot. Or is Jimmy Clawson or a quarterback the only player that's going to bring someone up?
No, I think a lot. Well, it depends because... one of those guys that everybody considers a top four or five pick might slip. It's happened in the past. Then all of a sudden, say Eric Berry's there at 10. And people think, you know, there's a lot of tackles. If there's a run on tackles in the top 10 picks, there's a chance a player we don't think, you don't think, the fans or media don't think.
Eugene Monroe,
what's the chance of Berry being there at 10? Safety. I mean, I would 20, think if there's
25%.
I would think if there's one guy that could slip, a Rod Woodson kind of guy. Woodson slipped. He was, you know, supposed to be a top three pick, and next thing you know, the Browns take Mike Junkin, and the Cardinals take Kelly Stopher, and Woodson is in free fall.
You know, you read these mock drafts, and I read them too. I'm a fan just like everybody else. I think with him, Cleveland and Kansas City are mentioned. If Kansas City does not take a tackle, I think a lot of people have Barry going there. And also Cleveland brought in a corner. Sheldon Brown. So people think if they don't go corner, they might go safety. So who knows?
You want to trade down, don't you? You want an extra pick.
I think everybody, especially, you know, you hear how strong this draft is, Vic. I think trading down makes a lot of sense because of where our football team is, the amount of good players there is in this draft. If a team wants to give you fair compensation, now you don't just trade back to trade back. That doesn't make sense. And if there's a player there you love that you think can change your franchise, it's tough to trade away from that player.
How do you establish value in this day and age of the NFL? I mean, we talked about it last week. The number chart that Jimmy Johnson threw around doesn't seem to have the same validity that it once did.
No, you know, because the economics, the way they are today, the top 10 picks, it's so expensive.
Yeah.
But I think
so what's fair value?
Fair
how
value,
do you establish that?
Fair value is if you can establish, if a team wants to give you what you want to trade back, that's fair value.
Okay.
Where both sides are happy.
You might take less than fair value, right? I mean, this is such a good year, especially on the defensive side of the ball where your need is so great. I mean, why stand on the numeric table?
You notice when Brian asked me about fair value, I said nothing about the numeric table.
Right? The numeric table is garbage.
No, if you get numeric table value when you're trading back, you're very happy. When you're trading up, not so much, you know. But if you can get numeric value nowadays, that's a heck of a trade for your organization.
355-NFL-1. We took a break. Come back with another segment with Terry McDonough joining us from the Jaguars War Room this evening just to shed some light on draft. Join us for the 16th annual Bud Light Draft Party presented by PRI Productions. Draft day, 6 o'clock in the evening at the Seawalk Pavilion out at the beach. Admission's free. You can meet players, the Roar, Jackson DeVille. Also a chance for you to win some great prizes. And we'll be on the air Thursday evening. What do we decide, Joe? 7 o'clock?
7 to 10.
7 to 10. And what if they trade back? All right. Just in case you do, trade back. We'll be on the air.
Good.
On the other side of that wall with a secret listening device.
Yeah, Terry, if you could tell us exactly what you're going to do right now, that would really make it easier for us.
I'll keep the same thing I said to Vic. You'll have to ask
Gene
about
that. Have you ever heard the story about draft day 1998? When do you remember that? Mm-hmm. They had two first-round picks. They took Fred Taylor at number 9. And then in the 20s now, they had pick number 25, which was their pick from finishing 11-5 the year before. And there's a couple safeties. And they wanted the kid.
Sean Williams from UCLA. UCLA,
right.
And Donovan Darius.
Right. They're the two on the board.
And Coughlin wanted Williams.
Right. So you hear when the Giants take Sean Williams at 23, you could hear on the other side of the wall.
Oh, damn it,
the anger, right? You could just hear it. We're like, oh, boy. And then I asked Vic, I said, now, based on the reaction that we think we just heard, right? Do you think that Donovan Darius is next in the queue? And he goes, absolutely not. No chance. And then you hear Donovan Darius, and there was no sound on the other side. But that's a thick wall.
Tom was a needs picker all the way. But the best part is, after I hear over there on the other side of the wall, oh, damn it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I go down the hall, and Coughlin stands up and says, well, with the 25th pick, we got the player we wanted. The lying is fantastic.
I'll tell you what, if you drill a hole, about a 6-inch hole in that wall, you'll see everything that goes on.
Wait, luckily for you, it's concrete.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they made sure that it's concrete.
My favorite player in this draft is Armani Edwards, the quarterback from Appalachian State.
All right, before you go there, though, come on, you know what everyone wants to hear him say.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, you know.
Get it over
everyone
with.
Everyone who's listening wants to know what you think of Tim Tebow. And I know you can't give us your grade.
No, but everybody knows Tim Tebow is a great football player. I mean, and a great person. We all know that. People that are listening out there knows that. He's a winner in every way. We love him. It's what we're going to do here, and what Gene is going to do is he's going to go and stick to his philosophy, which is take the best player. And if Tim Tebow is the best player available when we pick, he'll be a Jaguar.
What's the chance of him being the best player when you pick?
Well, I'll let you know when our list is going to start going
off.
He's
already
our list.
A general manager.
Here we go.
Hey, this is not the time of year for loose lips.
No, it's not.
You're not going to get information from people at this time of the year.
I tell my buddies, the best time to get the truth out of any personnel guy is in September and October when they go to a school and they get excited about a player. They'll tell the truth then. Right. But my friends know after March 1st, everything I tell them is a lie.
Yeah, there's only one way Tebow gets picked here, and that's if Wayne Weaver makes the pick.
Well, we've been pretty tight-lipped about who we're going to select around here. I just know he's going to be a heck of a football player for somebody.
Anyhow, tell me about my favorite player in this draft, Armani Edwards, the quarterback from Appalachian State, who you guys just worked out.
Well, you want the long story?
I want the truth.
The truth is...
He just told you he's not going to give you the
truth. No, this is the truth. I went into Vic's office about 2 months ago, and if you don't mind me telling the truth,
he said,
if you don't pick that Armani Edwards, he's a great college football player, so sure enough... About 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I told Gene, I said, hey, I need to go up to Appalachian State and work out Vic's guy. And the guy had an outstanding workout. Not only as a quarterback, he ran routes as a receiver, didn't drop a ball. He ran 4-4 for all the scouts.
Catch punch for you?
Yeah, at the end of the day, we were trying to find something wrong with him. You know how scouts do that? And it was about 40 degrees and cold and windy up in Boone. And we brought the guy out and convinced the guy to bring the jug machine out there. I had the guy turn the jugs machine up all the way, and I'm talking about all the way. So this guy's shooting these footballs about 70 yards up and down, and Edwards caught every one of them. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
He was running from one side of the field to the other. The workout ended, and there was about 8 or 9 scouts, and they all got in line and shook the kid's hand. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
If you don't draft this guy, don't come down to my office.
No, well, again, you know what's the answer to that, Brian?
If he's the best player when you pick?
And what's the second part of that answer? I don't draft him. Gene does.
Yeah.
I think you can get him in the first round.
All right, just ask me the questions because I can handle it from here.
Yeah, how would that go? We take him in the first round. I think you get a little heat in Jacksonville.
You get a whole lot of heat in Jacksonville. First of all, how do you analyze the trade that the Broncos made to the Dolphins? Who won that deal?
Was it second round picks? Two twos.
One this year, one next for Brandon Marshall. Who
$45
million? $47.5 million.
That'll make him a better person.
Well, Brandon is a dominant player, and he keeps himself clean with Miami. They win, and if Denver takes those two twos and picks two good players, they win. So
who would you rather have, Santonio Holmes for a five or Brandon Marshall for two twos?
Santonio Holmes for a five.
You betcha. I don't get it. I mean, was Parcells losing his mind?
I don't know that, but I know we like draft picks in Jacksonville. We want to get as many as we can. We want to build off what happened last year.
Absolutely.
And that was obviously, going back to that, you didn't think that Eugene Monroe would be sitting there.
No, and that kind of kick-started the rest of the draft. It was Gene's first year running the draft and my first year in the role I'm in, and we knew we needed to hit on these picks. I talked to you two about that, and it just flowed, and it really went well for us, and the kids all played great this year. And I know Vic said, put the pressure on, said, you got to have another one of those, and we're hoping too.
What happens if an offensive tackle is at the top of your board when it's your turn to pick and there's no trade offers?
And he's the number one guy?
Yep.
Again, I don't want to speak for Gene, but I'm with him 18 hours a day, 12 months a year, so I probably... You know, if the guy has some guard flexibility, too, also, or is he just a tackle?
He's just top of your board.
Yeah, we'll probably pick him, even though we took two last year.
Bless you.
I mean, Gene is steadfast in his... We're not a team around here that's going to start reaching for need. When teams do that, it's been seen around here.
Yeah.
You make a lot of mistakes, and you set your program back. Needs change all the time.
Can Britton move inside?
Yeah. I mean, he was our third team center last year. He played guard. He did a great job at us for tackle. I mean, that's not the plans, but we want flexible linemen up front, so.
Quarterback crop next year. Real good, huh?
Very, very deep. Very deep.
Let's talk a little bit about him. Jake Locker at Washington. Christian Ponder at Florida State. Might be the number one overall pick. He's that good, in my opinion.
Well, if I start stumbling, it's because I have my mind on about 800 guys from this year's draft. But Locker, if he had come out this year, I think it was here, Bradford would have probably been the number one pick. He's a big, strong, athletic.
Yeah, I think he would have been the first pick overall.
A lot of people do. And there's probably four or five or six others that are all be kind of first round.
Quarterback at TCU. The quarterback at Idaho.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's a guy at Delaware.
Delaware. Pat Devlin. This is a Joe Flacco story, a transfer. Lit it up last year at Delaware. And if anybody thinks that isn't big time football, you know, remember that they played at did they beat Appalachian State 2 years? They lost to Appalachian State, which by the way won at Michigan that year. So there's the guy at Delaware, and there's Idaho, TCU.
There's a bunch. There's a bunch. Obviously,
Ryan Mallett at Arkansas.
I don't know. See, I don't want to get my. I don't know who's underclassmen, who's not. Without looking at it, but I just know this. I know there's a lot of quarterbacks next year.
Let me put you in a scenario that I put Jeff and Vic in last week. If you have an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman with similar grades. When you're picking, wherever that is, 10 or if you move back, do you think this team needs one more than the other? Do you then pick for need?
If in the same grade range?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman sitting there on the board and it's pretty much a draw. I mean, and I don't obviously know your board. No one does. Would you say then that because this team struggled stopping the run last year that you'd lean more towards defense? Or do you just decide where your strength is and build your strength?
Again, that
as Gene.
That's
no,
Gene's
I know.
Decision, but I will say this: it's no secret around here. We definitely favor defense. You know, we'll take the best player, but no, you know, we want to get our defense back to where it was a few years ago, and this past year it wasn't. And that's not a secret. I'm not giving away trade secrets.
Are you saying you tilted the board toward defense? Your rankings?
No, not at all. I just think if you look at our team, we went pretty much offense heavy last year. Not saying, who knows? I mean, Gene could take three offensive players with the first three picks, but I mean, there's no secret defensively. We slipped last year, and we definitely want to strengthen that side of the ball. But this side, you know, we need a lot, and we plan on getting it in this draft.
Wow. Pretty much laid it out, and we've reached the bottom of the hour. So thank you for spending some time with us.
You got it, Brian. Thanks, Vic.
Have you guys, by the way, before we go, have you started the mocking process, or do you wait till next week to get going on that, where you guys do your own mock drafts?
We do one next week.
Gotcha.
We do ours next Wednesday, so
swing by and take a
look
at our
going to have us taken?
I make that pick. I'll let you know. It might be Armani Edwards.
Ask me that question real quick. Ask me that question.
Who are you taking?
Well, see, you know the answer to that. That you have to ask Vic.
I'm leaning towards C.J. Spiller at this point because he'll be at the top of my board when you pick. I'm seeing that it's likely that he'll be available. And I just go with best available. And I really mean that. The Jaguars went with best available with Maurice Jones-Drew. And everyone said, well, what are they going to do with him? They got Fred Taylor. And I remember people that day, coaches saying, well, he's a very good kick returner. And I remember saying on TV that night, you don't draft guys in the second round to return kicks. That worked out pretty well. You know, I mean.
The one thing I'll say, you know, so much of this is media driven.
Yeah.
The picks. Oh, yeah. People say, oh, why'd they pick that guy? Well, if you put a ton of work into this thing and you believe in what you said, same thing with Cox and Knighton last year in the third round. Everybody grilled us.
Yeah. How'd that turn out? Pretty good.
But they all said the same thing. What are you guys doing?
Well, I got to ask you. And the other question I'm getting, zillion of these. The pick that New England has from you this year in the second round, 44th?
44.
Okay. Is Derek Cox worth the 44th pick in this year's draft?
Yes.
Okay, there it is.
And with that? Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Terry McDonald, ladies and gentlemen. Got a busy week in front of him getting ready for the draft.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy in the St. Johnstown Center. Brian Sexton, Vic Catchman. I hope that the folks who have been listening since the start of the show appreciate the position that Terry McDonough was in.
Yeah, they can't say anything.
Nothing.
But, you know,
he wants to share some insight because he's that kind of a guy, but he can't give away all the hard work that they've been going through for 8 months.
Yeah, no, he did a pretty good job. I mean, I think there was actually some truth in all of that.
Yeah, I think so.
I got a feel for some things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we can talk about that. You're invited to join us on the program at this point. Let's grab a Lucas, who is in Mandarin. The phone number this evening, as always, 355-NFL-1. Hey, Lucas, how are you?
Hey, I wanted to ask a question for him, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there for y'all.
Okay.
What are the chances that you think we get some players involved in a possible trade on draft day, like maybe Big Hen, Reggie Nelson, Durant, you know, guys that I'm pretty sure might be shopping out.
The only guy of the players you mentioned, the only guy that has real value in a trade is John Henderson. John is an accomplished defensive tackle, and he is one of those rare specimens that is bigger than the moon. I mean, he is so big that, like a Sean Rogers, like a Marcus Stroud, that he has undeniable size, therefore he has undeniable value. What his value is, I don't know. I don't think you could get a 2 for him. You might get a 3, you might get a 4. I think you would look along the lines of what the Jaguars got for Marcus Stroud, which is to say maybe a 3, maybe a 4, maybe a 5, something like that. If it's, in my opinion, much lower than 4, I don't know that I want the trade. But I don't think you're going to get anything for Reggie Nelson. I mean, come on, who are you kidding? He's on his, you know, he's on death watch here. I mean, he's on the bubble. He's got to produce this year. He's got to play. You know, go back to last season. Go back to the Indianapolis game, which was the second Indianapolis game, the big game here on Thursday night. That was the last straw for him. He lost his job. He didn't start in Cleveland. He's being challenged. You know, it's time to be a more physical football player. It's time to stop blowing assignments and be the impact player that you're supposed to be when you are a safety taken in the first round. And, I mean, the Steelers just got a fifth-round pick for Santonio Holmes, a Super Bowl MVP. What do you think you're going to get for Reggie Nelson? I don't know why the fans are so unrealistic about player value, but I say it over and over in my column. Picks, not players. Teams don't want players. They want picks.
Well, who else do you think might possibly be on our trade block?
I don't know who's on the trade block, but yes, Henderson has some value. After that, I don't think you got anybody there. Not anybody you want to trade. You want to trade David Garrard? Yeah, David Garrard would have value. You want to trade Maurice Jones-Drew? Yeah, he'd have value. But you don't want to trade those guys.
Good call.
Appreciate the call, Lucas. Thanks a lot. 355-NFL-1. Join us on the program next, Dave in St. Augustine. Hello, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point something out. A couple years ago, this team had a big problem. And it was a problem that showed up in the newspapers and on the news. And it was a problem with player conduct. And it's gotten very... 1 year goes by, and we don't have any issues. And it seems like, you know, it's not an issue anymore. But it is. It's an ongoing issue. And you can tell by any time you watch SportsCenter, you know, you got Ben Roethlisberger and all this thing on here.
And what did he do?
I'm not assassinating his character, Vic. Moving forward.
No, what conviction? What was he convicted of?
He wasn't convicted. You're taking me off the track of my course, please.
No, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to get in your glass house and you're going to throw stones.
Let's just keep in mind when you're talking about bringing in guys like Brandon Marshall and Santonio Holmes, trading them for draft picks for them. You know, we're steering away from these type of characters. And I know you're going to jump on me for just bringing Ben Roethlisberger up, but he's just a side story to this.
So what's your point? They have steered away from these characters. So what is your point?
My point is, I'm feeling like because it's been an out of sight, out of mind issue, they've kind of forgotten about how things have been going around here. For this team, was a black eye.
Who are you saying that? You saying the fans have forgotten that, or are you saying that the Jaguars have forgotten that?
The fans, as a whole.
No, I don't think they have.
When they say, why didn't we go after Santonio Holmes? Why didn't we go after Brandon Marshall? Why do you think?
Because they've had trouble.
Right. Because was that not a huge issue for us just, 2 years ago?
I think you're making a huge issue of something that isn't.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Go Jaguars.
Appreciate the call, Dave. You know,
I think it was glass house time, and I've really had it up to here. I'm getting it, my column over and over and over. We now want to put everybody in prison. My point with Michael Vick was, when you convict him,
right,
I'll rip him.
Then you
and
suspend
I did.
Him. Right.
But, I mean, this thing where we are going to now convict everybody, this McCarthyism, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I mean, let's not forget, the object is to win the game.
Right.
What they do in their lives off the field, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what Tiger Woods does.
True.
Only what he does on the golf course. When he disrespects his competitors, when he acts ill on the golf course, when a player acts ill in the locker room, that he divides the locker room, and we've had some of that here.
Yeah.
I don't want that guy. But as far as the other stuff is concerned, that's up to the legal system. That's up to the police. Let them take care of that.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, Jaguars draft 10th in next Thursday's draft. Go ahead.
You know, the commissioner met with...
with Ben Roethlisberger yesterday.
With Roethlisberger.
Right.
And now it's just assumed that he's going to be suspended. The NFL has never suspended a player who hasn't been at least charged with a crime.
And he hasn't been charged with a crime in either state.
Right.
Nevada
or
Georgia.
The Steelers are going to suspend him. And they're going to suspend him for a reason. And the reason is they had an agreement with him that this crap was going to stop.
Right.
That he was going to grow up. That he was going to get out of kiddie bars. That he was going to start acting like a two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, which he hasn't done. His immaturity is now off the wall.
He's putting himself in compromising positions and the franchise.
He's a distraction to his team.
Right.
He is at the point now where he has to be disciplined by the team. But I don't know that I'm in favor of the league suspending guys who haven't at least been charged with a crime.
Well, and that whole tarnish the shield, the commissioners, I've never been in favor of that because it's subjective. It doesn't necessarily take into account all of the facts.
You know, the Jaguars, yes, the Jaguars had a problem here a few years ago. And Reggie Williams had a marijuana arrest, and Matt Jones had some kind of possession arrest. I don't want to say something that isn't fact, and I don't have the facts in front of me. But yes, they had problems. And very, very quickly, Gene Smith got rid of those problems, and now what you have is a roster of very clean appearing athletes. So what do we get? We get Trent Dilfer going on ESPN and saying, they're too clean. You can't win with guys who are all nice guys, with 52 nice guys. Boy, you want to talk about a topic that is just overblown.
Absolutely.
I mean, this thing is manufactured.
One more thing on the Roethlisberger thing. Obviously, because of your relationship with Terry Bradshaw, what did you think about his comments yesterday, critical of Ben Roethlisberger?
I'm fine with him because Roethlisberger is a jerk. He's immature. He hasn't grown up. He doesn't understand the magnitude of his position with
also
the team.
On the marquee franchise, yeah.
And there's another part to this, too. You know, he put together this birthday party, and he got this luxury bus that he filled with his teammates. So he gets them all involved in this thing. This is no good. This is where I draw the line.
Right.
I draw the line when it becomes a negative for the team. As far as the cops are concerned, the cops will take care of it. The cops in the legal system took care of Michael Vick.
Yes.
We didn't have to. We didn't have to do a
well, and they took care of the situation.
An assassination on him because the legal system got him.
Well, and they took care of Ben Roethlisberger as well. They looked at the situation and they chose not to charge him.
Yeah, I mean,
so that was solved.
If they don't believe that they can get a conviction,
then the league shouldn't do it either.
Then why should we convict them?
355 NFL 1. We'll take a break and return with more Jaguars this week right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. No crime, no time. That's the legal motto of this show.
Yeah,
you don't get charged, you play.
I got
unless unless the team elects to suspend you for conduct detrimental, which is their jurisdiction.
I covered a guy who tried to shoot down a helicopter.
That's Holmes.
All right. Google Jim Brown arrests and take a look at the litany of trouble he had. I mean, it's
not a game for well-adjusted men, Vic.
Pushed a woman off a balcony. The only reason he didn't go to jail was because she refused to identify him as the guy who pushed her off. I think I'm wearing out on the goody two-shoes crap.
Sanctimonious, self-righteous crowd.
I'm sorry, Gene. I really respect what you've done with this roster and all that.
But it proved last year you can find good players and good people.
But the object is to win the game. I want to let the legal system handle the other stuff. Just get guys who know how to act in a locker room and on a football field.
All right, 5.5 minutes left. What are you hearing? Who's climbing? Who's climbing on your board? I know you don't update it on the website every day, but who are some guys who are going to make some noise that have not been considered by most?
Clausen is the guy that appeared to be climbing, and then he had the huge pro day, and all of a sudden, it was as though he fell like a rock.
But that's smoke screens, right?
Well, you know, he fell because Washington traded for McNabb. Everyone had Clausen going to Washington at 4, so when Washington traded for McNabb, it was as though they had no place to assign Clausen.
And yet you could use him in Cleveland.
I'm just not buying that because, I mean, quarterbacks are at a premium. And as I said on this show a week ago, what's the rap on him? What am I supposed to not like? He's a big guy. He's got a good arm. He's got some mobility. He's got a good pedigree. He scored through a lot of touchdown passes at Notre Dame.
Tough guy. Played hurt.
You know, when I asked that question, I had somebody who was just in this room not too long ago say to me, well, you know what? One thing you might not like is he kind of melted on the goal line against Southern Cal. And he's right. If you remember correctly, he threw some really ugly-looking balls. When they got to the two-yard line, they had a chance to beat Southern Cal by scoring, you know, at close range in the final seconds of that game. That's about the only thing I can think of with Jimmy Clausen that I don't like. C.J. Spiller seemed to climb a little bit, and then he leveled. If there's a guy who's climbing, it may be Sergio Kendall, the linebacker defensive end from Texas. And those guys, the pass rushers, always seem to climb just before before draft day. So that's a guy. The safety from down Texas way, Earl Thomas. He's climbed a little bit. Mays, the safety from Southern Cal, seems to be falling.
Why is that? He was such a dominant player, but I guess it was on a dominant team.
He's no one's quite sure if he's if he's agile enough to play safety or big enough to play linebacker. So he appears to be in a little bit of free fall. Bruce Campbell, the tackle from Maryland, seems to be climbing.
But the question on him
that's based solely on his appearance. He's Tarzan. Plays like Jane. I mean, you put on the tape of him, I mean, and he flat out stinks. I mean, you put on the tape of him, and you don't want him anywhere near your team. But when
these guys are going to see that.
But the moment he steps off the bus, I mean, you want him. I mean, that's your guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy you want to be first off the bus.
He sends a message.
Oh.
Hey, back to Clausen for just a moment. Assuming Kansas City, because they gave Matt Castle a big contract last year, doesn't go with a quarterback. Seattle, they could use a quarterback. Cleveland, they could use a quarterback.
Buffalo.
Oakland could use a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 6, 7, and 8. 9 is Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 4 teams in front of the Jaguars who are hoping Jimmy Clausen slides.
Buffalo is sending Tebow signals through Jim Kelly.
Come on.
If Buffalo took Tebow at 9, then he certainly climbed.
I could see him at the very bottom of the first round because somebody just decided to try to catch lightning in a bottle. But there's no way that Tim Tebow is going 6, 7, or 8.
Can you think of anybody?
Or 9.
Can you think of anybody who's climbing?
That's $20 million you're guaranteeing a quarterback that's not ready to play. No way.
Arakpo climbed last year.
Yeah.
Sanchez certainly climbed. Can you think of anybody in this draft who's climbing?
Yeah. How about the tackle from Tennessee, Dan Williams? I mean, he seemed to kind of be a...
No, he's always been right around a 10 guy.
All right. Well, let me throw... And you say C.J. Spiller is right around where he belongs, at 10 at this point. Well, a couple more names here now. What about Dez Bryant? Where does
he fit? Like he's falling. There are quote-unquote character concerns.
Right.
Everybody now is a character concern. You know.
You just better hope nobody looks into you. Yeah. Hey, how about Joe Hayden?
Well, it's that short side corner thing. He doesn't have elite speed, so can you put him out in space? He's a heck of a player. I mean, Joe Hayden, he could be the pick here.
He would fit there at 10.
Hayden is just a sensational player. He's a candidate here, and McClain is a candidate here, although I think that Spiller and Hayden are much better candidates here than McClain.
Right, and since next week will be completely absorbed with the first round, go ahead.
Pierre Paul is a candidate here. Dan Williams is a candidate here. And if either of those three tackles, offensive tackles, should fall, that might be your guy.
Well, when you say three tackles, you're talking about...
Trent Williams and Okung and...
It's a foregone conclusion.
Belaga from Iowa. Campbell, no.
Okung, he wouldn't fall that far.
He would not fall that far.
I mean, I think
if there's one guy who out of those three who would fall that to the Jaguars, it would be Belaga because he has a kind of Robert Gallery in him. They're not sure if he's a left or right tackle.
Wasn't there a thyroid issue as well that they were concerned about?
I think you're right. I think I remember.
He's been cleared by doctors, you know, whole nine yards. But obviously, when you're paying someone that kind of money, I mean, that's what it's about, folks. I mean, at this point, when you look at these guys, you've got to factor in what you're going to be paying them. So when you look at it from top to bottom, all right, we've got a minute left. Next week, we'll be absorbed with the first round. You mentioned Armonte Edwards from Appalachian State. Any other guys that you're crazy about that you think, I mean, whether the Jaguars can get to them or not.
Late in the draft?
No, just guys in the draft that you're really eager to see.
I've talked about a linebacker named Sean Lee. Who
top of the second round kind of guy?
I know, yeah. Well, that's the problem. I know two guys I really trust. Think he's better than McClain. I'll let it go with that because we just got the sting.
Yeah, absolutely. See you next week for the draft.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Have a great night.